But as we read this passage of Scripture, you know, it's amazing to me all the things that the Apostle Paul was able to get accomplished with, can you imagine, no trains, no planes, no way to move about in a way that they're just walking. And you read these missionary journeys, can you imagine walking thousands of miles just to be able to preach in a location, and then they're planting churches and they're moving along. And if we had the time to go through all of Acts 13 and 14, you would see two men, and you would see some others here that are called alongside. You would see people who were dedicated to getting the gospel out. And you know, in that early church, they made such a difference for Jesus Christ. And as much as missionaries appreciate your need, or our need as missionaries, and I can say that in first person, as much as I appreciated the faithful support of people in this church. And let me just say this, when I was in Uganda, even in 2008 and 2009, when that financial crisis hit, how many of you remember when that hit? There was panic everywhere, but I can specifically remember, and I was with BIMI, and I'm so thankful for a great mission board. The missionaries that were with BIMI, we stayed, got our support in, fine, but I can remember watching missionaries all across the country that were with other mission boards having to leave the field. Some of these were good gospel preaching people that they had to leave the field because they didn't have the support to stay there. And you know, I want to just tell you, thank you so much for giving to worldwide evangelization here at Temple Baptist Church. Your missions dollars are going ahead of you, and there is fruit that is abounding to your account this morning. I was talking to someone, called me on Friday night, one of our church planters in Uganda, and they said, Pastor, just wanted to let you know we are still having meetings during Corona. And I said, okay. And he went on to tell me how they had seen folks saved just recently, because they're having services and they have to get permission from certain government leaders. Most of the churches are shut down, but you know, the difference is they're in a village. And villages, small villages, are able to meet, and they just get one person's permission, the LC1, and many times they're able to meet. And because people continue to give to missions, people are hearing the gospel even this morning. As I look in Acts 13, I'm reminded that this church prayed and fasted for those folks going out. And you know, this morning, there is a great need for us to have prayer support behind our missionaries. As much as I appreciated the financial support that allow us to be on the field, and let me just say, Mandy and I so much appreciated being there. We're going to look at four things. We're going to look at four things to pray for. Pray for protection of the missionaries, and we're going to see this in Acts 13, 1 through 3 and verse 8 and 44. Let me just give you the outline. Pray for protection. Pray for God's provision. Pray for the people they're ministering to, and pray for the planting of churches. And we see all these things in Acts 13 and 14. But I can remember very vividly sitting there in Uganda thinking, you know, we have our support, but there's nothing like the presence of God in a place. And I can remember very vividly waking up some mornings and just saying, you know, Lord, you got to protect us. And some of you remember my children telling the story of them sitting there and wanting to go outside and play. And there was that sand pile outside we had at our house, and I built a little place there, and can we go out and play? And I said, no, Mike and Michaela, no, just stay inside. And I saw their faces kind of downtrodden. And then all of a sudden, my guard comes up and says, you know, cobra, cobra. And I said, what? He says, there's a spitting cobra in the sand pit, right where my kids were going to go play. Well, as soon as, and the guard couldn't kill the snake because he had to fire a weapon. And there, you can't fire weapons to kill snakes. You have to kill it with something else. So he brought me a stick, and he said, Pasta, you kill it. And I thought, what? Okay, so went out. Killed it with a stick. And of course, my kids, I don't realize it looks like Wild Kingdom outside because my kids are looking through the window and I'm sitting there and I'm stabbing it and trying to, you know, they didn't teach me that at Bible college. Kill the snake, come back in, and the kids were just wide-eyed. And I said, well, let's, and I looked down at my phone and I downloaded a message. It was somebody from this church and then someone from a church down in Southern Virginia that I got an email. I mean, within 3 minutes, I look at my phone and it says, hey, Brother Jeremy, we're just praying for you. Hope everything's going okay. Praying specifically for your safety and your family today. I got to read that email to my children and they were like, I mean, it was like everything I said for the next 2 days was like liquid gold. You know, dad knows God, you know. Dad knows we shouldn't go out and play because there are cobras outside. You know, I should have taken more advantage of that now that I think about it. But you know what happens? We forget that God, the great God of the universe, chooses to work through prayer. And you know, I am thankful that we're sending missionaries. I would encourage you, the sacrifices you're making for people to hear the gospel, it's going to lay up so many treasures in heaven that you do not know of on this earth. But let me just say this. There are missionaries today who are struggling, I think, probably to stay on the field. Perhaps they need your prayers of encouragement, and you just sending a simple email note. I'll never forget the blessing in my heart when I read that email, and I could read it to the kids, and it was like, well, God's got everything covered. God knows all of our path. And you know, that's exactly right. God wants us to trust Him in prayer. It's easy to forget to pray for the needs of our missionaries, but I remember daily reading emails just over and over and over of blessings that God gave us because we were just faithful to Him. To Paul and Barnabas in the early church, missions was a serious business, and they knew the world was without Christ and needed the gospel. So they dedicated themselves to what? Reaching the world with the gospel in their time. And isn't that what we're tasked with today? We can't reach people that lived 100 years ago. We can't reach people that are going to live 100 years in the future. But we can reach people right now with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me just ask you this. How are you being an active part in that in the ministry of Temple Baptist Church? Let me ask you this. Would you first of all partner with us to give to Faith Promise Missions? And I know many of you are involved with that. If you're not involved with that, I know Brother Baggett this morning is going to be speaking. And I know Pastor has talked many times about how to get involved with Faith Promise Missions at our church. But I would encourage you to get involved with that and be praying what God's going to ask you to give, even as we have another missions conference coming up here in a few months. As I look at this passage, there's many things we could look at. And I would just encourage you in your private devotions to go through Acts 13. You can read in verses 4 through 5. Pray that missionaries would be confident in God's word and filled with the Spirit. In verses 10 through 12, you can look at praying for missionaries for their victory in spiritual warfare. In verse 13, you can look at their praying for peace with other believers. How many times have you gotten in a situation as a missionary where you just needed peace to happen? We were there during an insurgency. We had a general knock on my gate and say, hey, we need your compound. We need to commandeer it for a few hours. They moved in with a tank right in front of my house. And, you know, we got to lead that general to Christ. But there are all sorts of opportunities that are doors of utterance that you can have. But as missionaries, sometimes you don't know the right one to open and the right one. You just, Lord, give me wisdom. You look in this passage in verses 14 and 15. Pray for missionaries and their favor with unbelievers. How many times does an unbeliever come? And we're fixing to look at the sorcerer here and the things that happened in that passage. But pray for God pray to God that He would open hearts around them in verse 48. In chapter 14, in verses 1 through 2, pray for a missionary's joy in the midst of their suffering. Pray for their kindness in the midst of slander. You know, how many times has it been where missionaries get slandered on the field by even government officials and have to leave the field? I'm just telling you this morning, there's a host of things that if you just read your Bible, you can gain and glean from. And you can say, you know, I haven't prayed for a missionary in that way perhaps before. God wants those missionaries who were called there to stay. And let me ask you this. God wants some of us in this church, I firmly believe, to be on the mission field. You say, well, who are they? I have no idea. But let me tell you this. The greatest privilege of my life was to be in Uganda, East Africa, and to be planting churches and witnessing to people. It was the greatest thrill. And Mandy knows, we talked about this recently, one of the greatest disappointments in life was that God said, no, I want you to come back to Northern Virginia. And we knew there were health circumstances and all the ways God got us back here. But I wake up every morning at times and go, oh, God. I get a text on my phone they sent me at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they're just very specific requests. Pastor, would you pray for this? Pastor, I got to see this one saved. Pastor, thank you for teaching me how to lead someone to Christ. Those are blessings that keep going on. But those are blessings I'd love to still be over there gathering and gaining. You know, some of you here, God could use you on the mission field. God could use you in a variety of places if you're just open to His will and His way in your life. God can't use everybody, perhaps, here this morning on the mission field, but I am certain God wants to use some. You look in this passage in verses 19 and 20, we see the missionaries' perseverance we can pray for. We can pray that God would use them to make disciples in verses 21 through 23. In Acts 14, 24 through 28, you see that pray that God would use them to multiply churches. Let me just say this, when you're praying for the protection physically and spiritually of a missionary, the commissioning of Paul and Barnabas didn't exclude them from problems. It didn't exclude them from not needing to be protected. And I can vividly remember times that people in this church prayed for me and God answered a prayer miraculously. You know, sometimes you're dealing with things, and you'll notice here in verse, look down in verse 7 and 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. This is Acts 13:8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And then he delivers an amazing, like, just pointed attack here and calls sin for what it is. And you'll go on to see in verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You know, this morning, people are astonished by the teaching of God's word. That word doctrine there just means teaching. Let me ask you this. People can see how you handle problems at work, and they can be astonished at God's doctrine, at God's teaching. And you can win people to Christ. I remember a gentleman in Uganda that typically, I don't know why this was a popular thing, but I got my brakes cut in my truck three times. And I'll never forget one of my mechanics, Stephen, came to me one day and he said, Pastor, your brakes have been cut clean. And he says, where are you going? And I'd been going up to a place where witch doctors were. And I'd gone to one village, and we had a radio station in Uganda and called Calvary Radio, 105.1. The signal will not reach here, okay? But we were there, and I remember preaching, and people would listen to that radio station, and then they would come. And they would come to my house, and sometimes we'd see them saved. And several guys traveled 15 miles on a bike one way. So three guys pull into my house, and they said, Pastor, we've listened to you preach on this and this, and we want to know the truth. And they were very, you know, very matter of fact. And they said, we want you to come talk to our village. And I said, okay. So first of all, I talked to them. They weren't saved. They trusted Christ as their Savior. And I'm giving you a short Cliff Note version of what happened over 3 years. But these guys came every Tuesday and Friday to my house, 15 miles one way, to get discipleship lessons. They would come, hear the preaching, go back, and then they would say, we want you to come out on Saturday. Well, I would come out on Saturday, and the way we got our system, I got to go to a different village every day. And so for 7 days, I got to go to a different village, preach, but do discipleship for 4 or 5 hours in each village. Well, these particular people out in this village in Tabor got out there, and they said, Pastor, we've noticed after you've been coming out for about 2 months, they said, that witch doctor there does not like you. And I said, well, how do you know that? They said, you know those flat tires you've been getting? They said, it's not an accident. And I said, it's not an accident? I said, no. They said, look at your tires. There were nails and thorns in the bottom of my tire. You know what they were doing? That witch doctor had put a curse or a hex on us, and they had been throwing nails out where we were going. So you know what the people of Paliette Village did? They got their machetes, they got their pongas, and they said, we are building you a new road, so you do not have to go by the witch doctor. They cut a canopy from, I guess, the distance between that wall and that wall, through a jungle. And they just took a few days and cut a place for my truck to go by. And I could not open my door on either side, but I had a perfect path right to this village. You know, we saw over 150 people saved in that village. Do you know that village? I got a call this week that that village is having services during coronavirus. They're still baptizing people, seeing people saved. That's because you gave to missions. But that witch doctor who kept, he's the one who cut our brake line, we ultimately found out. You know, I was driving, and I was going on a main highway. And I don't know if he cut it or if the roads caused this issue. But I was driving, and I knew the Lord, I could feel the spiritual oppression when you're going into some of these places. And you could just feel the heaviness. And I was driving my truck, and I was on a highway, and the next thing you know, my brakes go out. And I'm going about 55 miles an hour. I can't stop. There's a turn coming around the bend, and I realize, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this. I slowed down enough to make it through, but and I was trying to pump brakes. I couldn't get any traction. I'm going around, and I see I'm going to go down a steep incline. God provided a path where I don't know how the vehicle slowed down, but it slowed down enough, and there are crowds on both sides of you. Any of you have been on a mission field, you know there's people on this side, people on this side. My vehicle came to rest right in a perfect spot where there were no people. I got out my phone, and I looked at it. You know who I got an email from? 2 minutes earlier. And that was right about the time I had the brake issue. I looked down, and my hands are shaking. You ever white-knuckled your steering wheel? Some of you are like, yeah, my husband drives that fast. I white knuckle it all the time. I sat there, I looked at my phone. It was Sam Dalton, an email from his history class. Dr. Dalton said, hey, we were just praying for your safety and hope, you know, everything's going good. And he specifically mentioned in his email, I saved the email, specifically mentioned praying for your safety on the roads. We know things can be dangerous. I'm just telling you this. There is a canopy of protection around missionaries today that come from your walk with Jesus Christ. Are you praying for missionaries in your classroom? Are you praying for missionaries in your family? I'm telling you, God wants to protect people today. God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm convinced there's people not going to the field today and are robbed of blessings eternally because they're scared or because they're fearful of what man can do unto them. And we can look at Paul here. He could look at Elymas and said, hey, I'm out of here. I don't want to get around this devil stuff. I don't want to get around this sorcerer. And yet God said, no. I have a deputy that I want to see get saved because you do right. Today, we need to submit our children and let our children go to the mission field if that's what God's called them to do. Let me just say this. I've often thought this, and I've said it publicly, that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. And I truly believe that. I read an article the other day that said, that's not the safest place to be. But when you know God's hand of protection is on you, then you know nothing can happen to you. I'm more safe there than I am in Washington, D.C., than I am in Herndon, Virginia. And I'm afraid too many times we're too careful when God wants us to just step out. God says, try me that I can show you the plenty that I have for you spiritually. We see we should be praying for missionaries and their protection. The commissioning of Paul and Barnabas didn't exclude them from problems or protection. We see Elymas the sorcerer withstood them. And this is a very real thing that Satan in many ways afflicts missionaries with in some form or fashion. It won't always be a witch doctor, but it can very easily be attitudes and things that happen that perhaps we have no idea about. It's why we need to pray. Pray for missionaries' physical protection. Pray for their spiritual protection. I think in 1 Corinthians 16:9 he says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Have you ever thought about that? Paul says, there are many adversaries. And you know what? Work this week. There are many adversaries that want you to lose your temper, that want you to have a bad testimony. And God says, I can't use your testimony to see people saved because you've allowed these adversaries to afflict you. He says, there's a great door, and effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. Pray for missionaries and their protection. Pray for their families. We know the requirements found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We know that we have to rule our homes in subjection with all gravity. We understand that. And in order for Jeremy Pittman to be a missionary, I couldn't have Mike and Michael and Malachi acting like a bunch of heathen kids, because you know what? That was disqualifying me from having the position of a bishop or of a pastor. So you have to pray that the missionaries keep their homes in order, that they can have godly children. And that's something that there were times that we would just pray, and Mandy and I said, we don't know how to deal with this. Lord, would you help us? Would you help our families to have spiritual strength? You know, it's hard sometimes when you can't hear a service in your own language. Have you ever thought about that for children? When they're hearing something in a different language all the time, well, that father has to have wisdom. How is he going to minister spiritually to those children? Sometimes those are first world things that we never even think about. But Paul was committed to get out the gospel and do the right thing. And I know many times in Corinthians and Acts, he talks about the prayers for those in ministry. Let us pray for missionaries' physical provisions. You look in Acts 13, you look down in verses 40 through 55. I think of Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to see God answer when only he can answer, when he's the only one you can give the credit for because he's the only one who knew the problem. Isn't it wonderful to see God do that in our lives? Well, missionaries want to see the same thing. Would you pray for missionaries to be provided physically? And that's how your dollars come into play, is because they couldn't be on the field in many cases without your support. Paul stated in Romans 15:30 to strive together with me in your prayers. You remember that? Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So that's something every missionary would ask you today. Look, would you strive together with God in your prayers? That's your daily prayers. That's part of the reason it's important for me to walk with God every day and to teach my children that they need to have a time when they're walking with God and they're praying, because One day, someone's going to depend upon them. Paul says, I'm depending upon the churches that they would have their prayers to God for me. One of the comforting verses I had in Psalm 127 was verse 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, Paul had the right attitude towards wealth. He said, for I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. It's not bad to suffer need. God says, listen, I can supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I can remember we were coming back from the airport, and this is where it's important to pray for safety. We had thieves track us from the airport, and I had no idea. They were traveling 6 or 7 cars behind us, and Micah had gotten sick, and he got a weak stomach. No, I'm just kidding. He had a weak stomach. He had gotten sick, and you know, we have a long plane flight, and he was probably 8 years old, and we had to take him into the store. We were only in the store for 4 minutes. Now, you missionaries know that sometimes when you're traveling, you coming back from a country, you might have your laptop, you got a new computer, you got a new projector to show things on in the service you're in. We had about $10,000 worth of things in our car at that moment. This is before you could use an ATM card. So we had all of our funds. The largest denomination at that time was a $5 bill in the country of Uganda. So we had all these things. I got out of the truck for 3 minutes, took him inside, and Mandy took Michaela inside. Did you know those thieves hit in that 3 to 5 minute stretch? Took everything. I remember walking back out, and my car doors are wide open. Now, they were locked, but these guys had ways to get in. And I walked out, and I went, unbelievable. Everything's just gone. There was a security guard standing right beside my truck. I said, can you tell me what happened? People came. Sorry. That's what he was saying. I'm like, yeah, sorry. You know what we had to do? Well, Lord, thank you that they didn't. It could have been worse. We could have broken down on the side of the road. They could have tried to take our lives. Do you understand all the things that the Apostle Paul went through? He was stoned even to death, and you never see Paul complaining. How many times as Christians do we just need to have the attitude of the Apostle Paul and say, hey, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And when you get to that stage of being content, you know, it grieved us that things happened and we lost things, but you know, I'm thankful that God taught us many things through that lesson. You know, I would have loved if we didn't have to go through that, but I'm just saying God knows what we can handle and God allows things to happen. We see, pray for the lost souls of men. Pray for lost people. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And you know, it's important that we're praying for all the missionary interactions that they have on a daily basis, because you never know. I'll never forget leading that general to Christ. I had no idea he was going to accept, but the one question he asked me is, hey, you've been preaching for 3 days. You've preached to 4,000 men. We had seen hundreds of people saved in this one military installation. He said, but what I want to know is what happened to the people, my family? He said, what happened to my family before you missionaries came? This is the first time. And he looked at me and he put his finger on my chest. He said, Pittman, this is the first time I've ever heard that there is a Jesus and that he can save. And I looked at him and I was shocked. And he said, you know, what happened to all of my relatives before you missionaries came? General Ezra Kiambo ended up trusting Christ. We had discipleship lessons for the next month. He came in, got saved, and he started leading other people to Christ in his battalion. You know what happened? He quickly noticed, hey, the gospel isn't around unless people tell the gospel. And unless we're willing to go, unless we're willing to tell people, they're never going to know your God's any different than Buddha, any different than anyone else, unless people in this church are committed, not just to give, but to go and to pray and say, God, could you use me? I'll never forget walking down the street, looking at a man, and he just was looking at something different. And he was just staring out into space. And I said, hey, what's your name? He said, oh, Pastor. And he knew I was a pastor. He goes, oh, Pastor, my name is Charles. I said, Charles, what's going on? I said, what do you do for a living? He goes, I'm a physics teacher. And I said, oh, he went to Macquarie University, had a degree. And I don't know how I get in weird conversations with people, but I just do. And I said, well, Charles, tell me about your family. He said, ah, there are many problems. He said, but, you know, I was just wondering. And he came up, he sees physics in everything he does. He's a physics teacher. I'm sure Brian Gustafson would know this. Maybe he's like this. He would just see math everywhere. Well, Charles ended up looking at me and saying, he said, oh, you are here. You were a pastor? I said, yes. And he said, and so I started giving him the gospel. I made an appointment with him for the next 3 weeks. I met with him at the end of the third week. He said, Pastor, this news is too good to be true. He said, my relatives all were around witch doctors. I have never heard the truth of this gospel. Charles got saved, trusted Christ as a savior. He then looks at me and says, listen, my dad is very sick. This is such wonderful news. Can you go and tell him? And I said, well, sure, where is he at? And I'm thinking he's like across the street, he's across the road, he's 4 hours away, up through village, up through. I said, sure, we'll go up and visit him. We drive all the way out to this village. And I can't describe it because it's through trees, we went through a river, like water's up over your engine, which your engine's not supposed to keep working when it does that. I'm going through, we get all the way out there. His father looks like he's to the point of death. He listens for 3 hours, and he said, ah, and I'll never forget, he just exhales. He said, I wish I would have known about this sooner. Charles's father trusted Christ as a savior. 36 hours later, he was in eternity. And Charles looked at me, and then he said this. Charles said, Pastor, he said, you got to tell my wife, Maureen. And I said, you can tell her. He said, no, Pastor, you need to show her from the Bible. I said, okay, we go to Maureen. Maureen gets saved. You know, they were faithful members in our church for the last 3 years we were there. Charles got sick. Charles was one of my best friends. He died about a year ago. But I constantly see his face. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, he got saved, his wife got saved, his children got saved. And he said, why aren't there more missionaries? And I'm thankful that God works in our hearts. But I think God wants to work in our hearts more than just giving. I think he wants to work more in our hearts than just, let's just pray. We're the people that say, because I'll just tell you this. Since that time Charles said that, I've had some of his family members contact me. Hey, we're doing good, Pastor. We're going to church. That happened because people from Temple Baptist Church chose to send a missionary. Understand this. Mandy and I are nothing. God says, without me, ye can do nothing. All we did was follow a simple call. But I'm telling you, it was a joy of our heart to be in Uganda. And there's many days I wake up and I get a phone call. I look at my email and it says, Pastor, when are you coming back? And I know God's called us here. But there's got to be people from here that want to go. There's got to be people here that go, God, there's enough. And I'm not against any of these professions, but you just name your profession. Are there enough of those in Northern Virginia? Maybe. Are there enough missionaries around the world? All I'm saying is we have a great privilege to give. We have a great privilege to go. And you might say, I can't go. Are you praying every day? Are you praying for their protection? Are you praying for power? Was there witnessing to others? We'll finish up here, but pray for those to be saved. Pray for those who are watching the missionary. You notice here in this passage in Acts 13, they wanted to see if Paul was real. Finally, pray for the planting of churches. Look in Acts 14, 21. Just look at verse 21. 14, 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and it taught many, and they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. And this is the greatest privilege of a missionary. And this is what I want our teenagers to understand, that if God would somehow allow you to serve him on the foreign mission field, this is your destiny. Look in verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many. I mean, there's nothing like people knocking on your gate 6 o'clock in the morning and saying, oh, Pastor, can we do discipleship now? My wife says I'm like a new man in the village. I need to hear more. I mean, that's just cool. I mean, I don't get that in Northern Virginia, okay? And I'm thankful nobody's knocking on my door. Don't get me wrong, at 6 o'clock. But that was a joy of my heart. You know, there's young people in this room. You could experience that every day for the rest of your life. if you just say, God, could you use me? Look at verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Why? Because there were churches in some of these places. 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. And you notice, so what did they do? Their goal was to plant churches so that when they went back, they could just start encouraging others and they could keep encouraging. Let me ask you this. Are you a good encourager today? Are you an encourager to missionaries? You can be. Brother Brandon's done a great job putting those cards together, and you can go through and pray for 3 missionaries a day. It's such an encouragement to be at your home. I mean, I'll tell you, when Michaela had malaria and she had 103, and Mandy and I had no answers, Alan and Elena weren't there, and her body is filled with jaundice, and she's just a year and a half old, and her body's shaking and convulsing, and we get ice and we pour it in the bathtub to try to get her fever down. Man, you know what it was like to get people praying for us? Our email didn't work. We didn't have good email internet service. And then I would get an email saying, hey, we don't know what's going on, but we're just praying for your family. That was like liquid gold to get a message from the United States of America. Hey, and Mandy knows, I would go into her and say, hey, look, they're praying. They don't even know Michaela's going through this. But man, when that fever broke and her fever went down and the doctor said, well, we can't really explain it. I said, I can explain it from your prayers. So let me just ask you this morning, would you be someone who prays for your missionaries diligently? Would you pray for their provision? Would you pray for their protection? Would you pray that they would see people saved? And finally, would you pray that they would plant churches? Because now that I'm gone in some of these places where we've planted churches, I'm gone. I haven't been there in 3 years. But you know what? There's still people being won to Christ because you're faithfully praying and you're faithfully giving to worldwide evangelization. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these few minutes that we've been able to listen to your word. Father, we're thankful that we have our copy of the scriptures. Father, how many places today, Lord, there is no Bible. Father, there is no translation team. Father, there's no one giving the gospel. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us to realize that we of all people are most privileged. Father, that we live in a generation, Lord, that makes Bible access easy. And Father, how all we have to do is spend time with you, walk with you. Lord, that we would pray for not only for each other, not only for our needs. Lord, you're willing to answer all those things, but would we pray for the thing that is closest to your heart, and that is seeing people saved. Father, would you help us to go forth with your power this week? Lord, would you help us in the service to come to make spiritual decisions based upon the Bible? Lord, we're thankful for your book. Would you use it to mold and to shape our hearts today? Lord, I pray that the greatest years of Temple Baptist Church are ahead of us. Father, would you help us to pray? Would you help us to give? Would you help us to go? In Jesus' name, amen.